Appreciate you. God bless you. Good to be with you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to the rest of you, too. All right. Glad to be here. I'm going to just tell you up front, it's your fault. I didn't know I'd like Utah. And when I got to Vegas and felt the heat, I thought, I won't like Utah. But you changed that. So I really like your church. I like the chance to be here. What a wonderful people. What a blessing. Isn't God good to us? Amen. Look at this building, this place that God's given you. And I'm excited about what God's doing. And I'm excited I get to be here with our friends who I admire and respect very much. They're heroes back in Georgia. And I thank God that I got to see this and be a part of this. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Now, I've been dealing with stage 4 kidney cancer. I've been all the way down to palliative care, and then right now I think I'm out of it. And it's hard to know where you are. They didn't tell me I was in palliative care. They just said, we're going to do anything we can to help you be comfortable. And I was like, boy, I never had a doctor talk like that. And I got home and I opened the papers and I'm reading the papers and it said you are in palliative care, which means this is next to last stage because we're going to keep you comfortable until we got to keep you comfortable. And so I went through some anxious times. I don't know if you would go through them like I did, but I won't leave my wife. We've been married a short time, 52 years. I didn't want to leave her. I didn't want to leave my kids. Betty and I have wonderful children. We have our oldest son's 50, our youngest son's 40, and two girls are in the middle. We have 20 grandkids. We have three great-grandkids, and another one will be born in July, Lord willing. And I just didn't want to leave that. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't scared to die. I was just scared of the process. Yeah. I mean, like if I could just wake up in heaven, I'm fine with that. I go to bed at night and then wake up and I'm, whoa, there's Jesus. I'll be all right with that. You know what I really don't like is I had COVID. I was on the ventilator for 21 days. And then I came to and I had no idea where I was. They put me in a hospital and I was on the ventilator, paralyzed and totally out of it. And I wake up and all these doctors got the two hats on and two masks and three masks and two or three levels of... And I said, they kept coming in and saying, what's your name? And I'm like, so by the time it quit, I just started making up names. I was like, I'm tired of these people asking me my name. And one of the ladies came in, one of my therapists, she came in and said, if you don't get with the program, you're never getting out of here. I said, okay, my name is Austin Gardner. And we'll make that real clear. And so I got anxious and I couldn't sleep at night. I mean, I'd go to bed at night, and then about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd wake up in a panic. Now, I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to have peace. Amen? But I didn't. And I'd get up and get in my truck, and I would just drive, and I'd drive out until 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. Then I'd get tired, and I'd pull into a church parking lot somewhere, because at least I'd go to a church parking lot, Baptist all the time. No, just joke. And I'd sit there and go to sleep. And then I go back home. But I was in a panic. And the Lord led me to Psalm 23. Boy, did it change my life. So I preached on it like 50 times now. And I'll keep working on it. This is not a dying psalm. This isn't a funeral psalm. That's what you look at it as. You know, it's like, oh, at every funeral, what do we hear? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, even though I'm dead. And that's where we see it. But that's not what's happening. Now, before I get into the psalm with you, I want you to know that most of us, without knowing it, serve a caricature of God. We have a God we made up, a God performance-based religion introduced us to, a God that's not like the Bible God. And so I want to walk you through that. So I meditated. I started in Psalm 23, and in two or three nights, my panic was gone. I'd lay in the bed. If I woke up, I'd say, the Lord is my shepherd. And I'd just meditate on it word by word. I memorize it again in Spanish, went through it all, just learning all of it, and learned so much about him, and it just gave me peace. And now I'd go to bed. So if you ever need a sleeping pill, Psalm 23 will do a good job if you learn to think about it. And so I want to talk to you about that. Now, watch this. You know the psalm, so I'm not going to be reading it a lot because you already know the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right? You know that? Amen? Now, watch this. Sometimes I thought I just didn't measure up to God. I thought that God, in my mind, God was a little bit like a distant judge. You're going to stand before me and you're going to answer for that, buddy. I'm keeping a record. I grew up in these churches that taught me all the time when I was a kid that when you die, they put this big video on of everything you've ever done, of every cuss word. Every time I cheated on a test, it was all going to be on the screen. And I'll just be honest with you, that was not something I was looking forward to. Because I was pretty good. I did some stuff, but I hid most of it. I'll be honest, my mom and dad didn't know I did it. Nobody knew I did it. If I did it, I cheat. I got caught a few times cheating on tests. But I was really good at sneaking around. You know what I mean? And now they're going to show a video of it? They're going to just open it to the screen and show all that? I didn't want that to happen. Sometimes I thought of God as a referee. I thought of God as a criticizer. I thought of God as me not measuring up. I thought that when I tried hard, it wasn't hard enough. Maybe I didn't pray enough. Maybe I didn't read my Bible enough. I missed that day last week when I didn't read my Bible. Hope he's not too mad. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. They go to and fro in the whole earth. They're watching everything we do to give a reward to the good and a judgment to the bad. I mean, come on. How many of you would admit you have had a little of that? Could you say amen? Amen. Yeah, we have. Well, I get to Psalm 23. And you, guess what? This psalm was written when David was 65 years old, approximately. He's 65. And his son, Absalom, is on the hunt to kill him. And David has run for his life. And he's hiding in a cave. And he's got a very few loyal men. And Absalom, his son, has embarrassed him by sleeping with all of his wives, 10 of his wives, in public. It's all in the Bible. And he has besmirched his character. He's made a joke out of him. And David knows he's going to die. It's any minute now. Any minute. Now, before I get to the psalm, we'll read it in a second, but I want you to know something. David had really messed up. I mean, when his son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar, he didn't do a thing about it. That's not good parenting. And Absalom, his son, waited 2 years for dad to do something. And when dad didn't do anything, he killed his brother. Dad didn't do anything about that either. He was not doing a good job as a dad. Might I remind you, he wasn't doing that good a job as a husband. Because he had tons of wives. And he saw Bathsheba. He thought, boy, I like her. She is good looking. And his friend, he only has 30 or 33 top level friends. Uriah's one of them. He says, well, I want his wife. So he gets him killed. I mean, this is not what you might call a really good man. How many of you would agree with that? Amen? I bet you wouldn't want him as your pastor. If he wants your wife, he'll get you killed. And he's not going to discipline his own kids. This guy's really messed up. He's messed up. He's messed up as a leader in the government. I mean, he has counted the people when he wasn't supposed to count the people. He's caused all kind of trouble. Now, wait a minute. You say, what in the world is all that about? Here's what it's about. Because you and I think that God is mad at us because of all the mess ups. Because everybody in this room knows you messed up. I mean, if you're honest, I mean, I know you got the Baptist face. No, I have not. I am not like these others in this room. I read my Bible every day. I know, that's what you say. But in your heart of hearts, you're like, nah, me and old David got a lot more in common than I'd like to admit. It's a different kind of stuff. I ain't kill nobody, but I mean, but I'm just saying we were messed up, and so we think that we got to go to God and go, oh God, God, I'm a miserable Christian, and I deserve to go to hell. Would you please forgive me? And then come on, talk to me. We think we got to grovel. We think we got to say, oh God, would you come be with me? Oh God, come on. You ever been in prayer meetings? I've been in prayer meetings, in Georgia prayer meetings. In Georgia prayer meetings, some of the people think God's deaf. Because they'll scream at the top of their lungs, God! And I'm over here like, he can hear. He don't need hearing aids like I do. Come on, back off. Amen. And then it's like, God, come be with us. Have you ever thought about it? That's a dumb prayer. For you to ask God to come be with you, he would look at you and say, I am, buddy. You are my temple. I live in you. So no need in asking me to come because I'm here in the living room. Say amen. Amen. Huh? Amen. Now watch this. This is what really blessed me because I looked at my life and I have messed up. I preached hard and mean and rough on some people. I have pushed myself hard. I could have been a much better dad than I was. And so sometimes I'm like, well, I don't blame God for being peeved with me. If I was God, I wouldn't like me. In fact, it's in my mind, I knew God loves me, but I didn't know it in my heart. I would have said to you, God loves me, but I don't think he likes me. He might love me, but he really don't want to hang around with me. Come on, you ever thought like that? Come on, has anybody in this room ever thought like that? I just don't quite measure up. Fact is, that other preacher, he really measures up. That other guy in the church, he really measures up. But here's what happens in Psalm 23. David gets ready to pray. He's alone in the cave. His son and the army is about to kill him, and he's going to talk to God. Now, let me tell you how Austin Gardner would have written Psalm 23. God, I know you're my shepherd, but I need to say I'm sorry real quick. If we could just get some things cleared up right now in this last moment, before I'm going to pray, but God, forgive me for my wickedness, forgive me for my sin. God, if you'll just do something, forgive me. God, come be with me. I'd pray like that. Then I'd say, and now you're my shepherd. That's not how David starts. See, David's life's over. David's life's over. He's nowhere to go. But he knows God, the real God. Not the God you made up, not the judge, not the referee, not the criticizer, not the hard to please God. He's the loving Father. Now watch this. He starts it like this. The Lord is my shepherd. Did you see what he did? Did you see the audacity? He didn't go, forgive me. He didn't go, I'm sorry. He didn't go, I should have done better with my kids. He just went, no, facts are, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There are no green pastures where he is. He's in a cave, he's hiding, his life is over. Now, I don't have time to give you everything I'd like to give you from this, but I just want to talk to you about the first two words today, the Lord. Now, the reason is I want you to know God better. I want you to know your Father. I want you to know how he is. I want you to have an idea. See, we read Lord, and we read Creator, Sovereign, Almighty, might whoop me. We read that. Come on. He's fixed a tan my hide. That's what my daddy used to say. I know that's Tennessee hillbilly. Y'all ain't never heard it. But my daddy would say, boy, you do that again, I'm going to tan your hide. You know what that means? That means beat the devil out of you. Come on, amen. And my daddy was born in 1929. He did not know about any modern child stuff. He thought, you do wrong, you'll pay. Say amen. At school back in my day, you know, it's a lot different now because I have grandkids. And in school, in my when I was a kid, if I got paddled at school, I got home, there was no discussion. My dad never said, well, what happened? Let me make a judgment on that. My dad just said, go to your bedroom, bend over, and beat me again. He beat me again. That ain't fair. Come on, amen. So sometimes I thought that about God. But here, the Lord. Now, I don't have time to show you as much as I could, but I want you to know that in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, Moses is talking to God, who's telling him to lead the nation of Israel out. And he uses the same Hebrew word, Lord. And here's what he says. He says, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Exodus 3:13. In verse 14, God said, I am that I am. I am that I am. That's the word Lord, by the way. That is the word Lord. So could I get, listen to me. He's the I am God. He's not I was. He's not I will be. He's I am right now. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're going through. I am. He is present and he is here and he is now. And he's like, I don't really care about your past. I'll fix it now. I'm not worried about your future. I'll take care of that now. I am. I am. But then I just studied more and more. You know, I am. He's eternal. He's self-existent. He's independent. He's unchanging. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. But would you like for him to introduce himself? It isn't really fair for you to judge me on what somebody else said about me and not even ask me. Why don't you say, Austin, what do you like? I lived in Peru, South America for 20 years, and I learned I don't stand up much in the song service because in Peru I was like, I'm massive. And so the Peruvians would say, we can't see the pulpit. You block out a half of a row of people. So I'm like, okay. Even at the church now, tonight when they're singing, not tonight, but in my home, I stand against the wall like this. So I'm blocking them out. Because I'm kind of paranoid about everybody thinking I'm blocking them out. Amen? And I was massive. And so people would say, I'm scared of you. And I'd say, I hadn't said anything yet. I haven't done anything yet. You're big. You're real big. I walked into a little church on the north side of Arequipa one night, and this little Peruvian, he was about 5'5". I'm 6'1". And he was about the same age, he's probably older. And I walked in, he went, whew, thank back, I'm big in your country. And then Betty walked in. And he said, and they make women your size. Because Betty was even bigger than him. You know what I mean. But what about just giving me a chance to introduce me? Now, you know what? You have an opinion about God. You really do. You've labeled him, well, I don't think God's happy with me. God's a judger. God's king. God's Lord. God's creator. But me and God aren't that close. And so God takes the time to introduce himself. Listen to this. Exodus chapter 34. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. You got to spend some time here. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with them there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He said, I'm going to tell you my name. And then he said this. And the Lord, I am, passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, I am. God, the Lord God. Listen here. First word he says when he wants to introduce himself. Hello. He says, my name's Merciful. Read the Bible. Yeah. He doesn't say, my name's Judge. My name's Almighty. My name's Creator. My name's Ruler. You know, you don't get too close to Ruler. Yeah. You don't get too close to Almighty. You don't feel this intimacy with the Judge. Here comes the Judge. I mean, honestly, can we just be honest a minute? I got some friends that are policemen, but when a police car is pulling up behind me, I don't feel close. In fact, I feel too close. I'm like, what? I'm hoping it ain't me. Come on. But it says here, he says, I'd like to introduce myself. I am merciful. I am merciful. And that means the word merciful is I'm compassionate. It means I care. I genuinely care about you. I have a tender attitude towards you. I have concern for you. So when God introduces himself to you, he says, can I tell you my name? I really love you. You know my name? I really love you. I hurt for you. I feel your pain. All of a sudden you're dealing with cancer, but so what? I'm with you, but I feel it. I'm with you. I feel for you. This word merciful is the same word used in the story of the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son is coming home in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, and he's coming home because he knows he's messed up. He knows he's ruined everything. He's a loser of losers, and he thinks he's going back to a tyrant dad who's going to be mad at him, and he's preparing his whole speech. I am not worthy to be called your son. I am really messed up. And the father has compassion and pulls up his robes and takes off running towards his son, and he grabs him and he hugs him and he starts kissing on the nasty pig stains and the stinky smelly clothes, and he's swinging him around. The old man is swinging his grown adult son around like granddaddy does with granddaughter. Says, I love you, I love you. And he goes, he starts yelling. That's exactly what the prodigal son thought he'd do. He figured he'd yell, but he yells, hey, my boy came home. Let's have a party. Now the boy thinks that daddy's going to go, you can come home, but you better never do it again. You can come home, but you can't stay here unless you obey these five conditions. And we got to see, you got to apologize to the whole town. But see, the Bible says he felt compassion, mercy. What it really means is he will not abandon or destroy his covenant people. His people, God will never leave his people. He will never leave. He will never forget. In fact, is in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, here's what God says. It's just so funny when he's trying to tell us who he is. He said, would a mother forget her nursing child? Everybody knows, well, of course not. He said, well, she might, but I won't forget you. Did you ever think about that? He says, a nursing child is... A mother of a nursing child is more likely to be forgotten by her mama than you are by God. That's in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. He protects us and he preserves. But I need you to go back to Exodus. See, we've only looked at one word. And actually, when I preach this, I actually preach every word, whole messages. But let me show you the next word when he's talking. And he says, I am the Lord God, merciful. And then he says, gracious. He said, first thing I like to tell you about me is I'm merciful. The second thing I like to tell you about me is I'm gracious. This is our Father talking. He says, first thing I want you to know is I'm merciful. I need mercy. Amen. I mean, I am a mess. Amen. I'm like David and all messed up in my life. And my Father looks at me and says, don't worry, my name's merciful. If you didn't get that, my second name, my name's William Austin. God goes, my name's merciful, gracious. So I looked up what gracious meant. And I don't want to take the whole lot of time, but basically gracious is nothing more than a synonym for merciful. You look it up yourself. So basically, God introduces himself. He shakes your hand and goes, hey, I'm merciful, merciful. In case you're wondering who I am, I'm merciful. Let me throw another word in here. It's like saying, I am good looking and I'm sharp looking. I am merciful and I am merciful. I am merciful and I am gracious. That means he's kind and he's compassionate and he's generous and he extends favor. You remember, that's who he is. You remember Jesus sees a woman taken in adultery? She figures it's over. And he says, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. You know what he said to us then? Later he said to us, he said, there's therefore now no condemnation. God says, ain't nobody going to condemn you. If they ever do call me, I'll be your lawyer. And don't worry, our Father is your judge. And so you got to change your view. Now, I don't have a lot of time, so let me give you one more. In Exodus chapter 34, he said, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, and long-suffering. This one may be my favorite. I never knew what long-suffering meant. I thought it meant long-suffering. Well, that is what it means. But the Hebrews, you know, I speak another language, and when you speak another language, you learn that words have, they just say things and do things. Well, the Hebrew word for long-suffering, are you ready, is long-nosed. So God looked at it, and he goes, I'm long-nosed. Well, now, for a Tennessee hillbilly guy, I don't know what that means. It don't mean much. So I had to keep on digging. I'm like, what in the world? Why did he say he got a long nose? You know what he said when he had a long nose? It's like super patient. You know how when you get angry and upset, you start breathing fast? I could tell my at Thanksgiving, my mama started, she's in heaven now. But my mother, you could say something about something she cooked, joking, and my mother started going, you could just see it. Come on. Did anybody ever have a family member like it? Come on. Well, God said, I'm long-nosed. You know what long-nosed means? I breathe slow. I'm not easily excitable. I'm patient. I'm extremely patient. That's who I am. He is merciful. He is patient. He is gracious, which is merciful. And he is slow to anger. Now, see, we get a twisted view of God because of maybe what happened in our families. Like our dad was slow to anger. No, my dad was quick to anger. My dad was quick. He just really was. I don't try to be ugly. I love him. He's in heaven. But Lord, help me. One morning at the breakfast table, I come up from the hills of Tennessee, country people, nothing like you rich city people. And I'm sitting at the table, and my daddy said something. I'm like 15 years old. And so I smart-mouthed him right there. And he didn't do a thing, but bam, just like it. He just did bam. Me and my chair went flying. And I was feeling my oats, so I got up like this. And he said, you want more? I said, no, sir. Because I knew if I kept him like this, it's going to get worse. Amen. He was pretty quick. He was easily triggered. He could get upset. But you know what? God looks at you and says, I don't get triggered. I know y'all think I'm mad at you. That's what he's saying. But I am merciful, and it takes a lot to get me upset. I don't have time to go into this. One of the most interesting words was that long-suffering also means indulgent. It's the word for indulgent. You know what indulgent is? Indulgence, granddaddy or grandmama. In our house, it's granddaddy. My grandkids come up and they walk into my office and they say, can I have some M&M's, granddaddy? I say, sure you can. My kids walk up and grandmama's in there and they say, can I have some M&M's? She said, we need to ask your mother. And I tell her right there in front, I say, grandmama, they do not need that. She wanted to stop them, she'd be here. So they're going to get the M&M's. Say amen. I'm indulgent. I like them. I like spoiling them. Did you know God likes you? Likes spoiling you. Likes being good to you. Likes being kind to you. The Bible's full of it, but you haven't paid attention. Now, I need to quit. So let me just say this. I just read to you out of the Old Testament. That's where he's mean. That's where he's mean, right? When you read the Bible, you're like, that Old Testament, he's pretty mean. That's where he said, I'm merciful, and I got a long nose, and there's three more, but we don't have time to touch them. But here's the most beautiful that I got to tell you. In the Old Testament, they didn't know him too well. You know, if they went to the mountain and touched the mountain, they could die. touched the ark, Uzziah died. Pretty tough stuff. But in the New Testament, Jesus is explaining to him, and he said, let me teach y'all how to pray. And he says something that is, you take it for granted, but it was completely revolutionary, earth-shattering. He said, pray this, our Father. Not our Father. You mean our judge? You mean our creator? You mean the Almighty? You mean the sovereign one? Jesus said, no, that's not how we talk to him. We say, our Father. Now you keep reading a little further in the Bible, and he gives us a spirit that tells our insides to call him Abba Father. Abba's daddy father. It's one thing to have a dad, a father. Another thing to have a daddy. Come on. We all got a father. But to have a daddy, a daddy. Oh. And Jesus said, when you talk to him, just call him daddy. Now, I'll be honest. When I was a little boy and I didn't have the best relationship at home, at 12, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. At 12, I wanted to get married. You know what I really wanted? I didn't really want to get married so much. I wanted to be a daddy because I wanted a relationship. Are you ready? Y'all never heard of this, but there used to be a TV program called The Rifleman. You know what interested me? Not the rifle, but how he and his son were so loving to each other. And I wanted that with my sons because I thought, ain't nothing so sweet. And then God looks at me and says, what are you talking about? Now, if I took you back through Psalm 23, which I hope you'll study it, the Lord is my, not our, my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what I shall not want? In the Hebrew, shall not want means, there's no future tense in Hebrew. It just means he settled it once and for all. You won't settle. You will not want now. You didn't want yesterday, and you ain't going to want tomorrow. It's a shall not. It really means you ain't never going to want. I'm always going to meet your needs. And he's making us lie down in green pastures. He's taking us, and this is kind of like my little life. It's my ministry thing right now. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you understand this morning? He loves you. And David is alone in a cave waiting to die. But David lifts out of the cave, out of the depression, and sets up on a higher plane and says, he sets a table before me. In the presence of my enemies. My enemies want to kill me, but God's still blessing me. And then David goes, you know, just think about it, buddy. He always, always has mercy and goodness following me. I think if you could get a hold of this, it'd help you understand your father more. I've been married for 52 years, and I am in no way desiring that Betty have a list of rules for me. Now, I do a whole lot of stuff because it's what Betty likes, but there's no list of rules. We ain't never had a list of rules. And did you know that when you just fall in love with God, actually what you're doing is recognizing how much he loves you. Amen. You are loved. Jesus prayed in John 17:23, and he said, Father, help them to know you love them like you love me. John 17:23. You look it up. You don't trust me? Look it up. You need to look it up. God, help them to know. Father, help them know you love me. You love them like you love me. You know how he loves Jesus, don't you? He had an episode. Jesus is out getting ready to get baptized, and he just can't hold it anymore. And he busts the heavens wide open, sends a dove down, the Holy Spirit, and he screams at the top of his lungs, that's my boy, my beloved, and I am well pleased. And Jesus said, they need to know that you love them that way. Yeah. By the way, he hadn't preached a message yet. He hadn't healed a sick person, raised a dead person, hadn't fed anybody. He hadn't done anything but be a carpenter for 30 years. But his father didn't love him for what he did. And your father doesn't love you for what you do. Amen. Your father loves you because God is love. God is love. God is love. Father in heaven, I love you and I thank you for the chance to share your word with the wonderful people here. And I pray that your name would be glorified. God, if one of them is not saved, I pray that today you'd save them. Help them to trust you and accept your gift of love. And then, God, I pray that the Christians would get comfort because they know who you are and what you're doing. And I'll give you praise for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.